and welcome to Eden's Early Years Insight. Today I've got on the sofa John O'Boyle and Lorna Newbold, and John, Operations Director, Lorna, our CEO. Lots of experience, and we thought we'd invite you in today.
You're showing our age now, Kathy.
Lots of experience. And we thought we'd invite you in today to discuss the budget. There's a lot of unrest in the sector, a lot of nervous anxiety around, you know, the budget that's happened and we've been delivered, and what, you know, and an already struggling sector, and what these, you know, what it's going to, what it means for them. And I think the main issue that everybody's talking about really initially is the National Insurance Contribution.
Yeah, you're right, Kathy. Sort of a really emotive time of year when a budget comes around, even more so when it's a new government. So this year was no different, and the big ticket item seems to be taxation.
Mm. Yeah, and I think, you know, employers are looking at those unrecoverable costs, because essentially that's what it is. And in a sector like early years, it's, you know, that's cut anyway, and finding it hard, you know, working out where they can make those savings is going to be really, really difficult for them.
Yeah, and it's trying to find where those savings can be had, isn't it? Because, you know, there's lots of nurseries that are already closing the doors and having to, you know, cease trade, so to speak, before this budget came in, isn't, you know, and now, you know, is this the straw that, you know, breaks the camel's back?
Well, we hope not, because, you know, I speak from, you know, personal experience. I know you do as well, Lorna. We're both grandparents, and that's hugely important, early years care for your most prized asset, your children and your grandchildren.
Yeah.
It would be a crying shame if nurses were to close as a result of this, for sure.
So is there any light in the tunnel that you can see?
Definitely.
Yeah, certainly.
I think there are creative ways in which we can support nurseries through the power of apprenticeships. Without this being a history lesson, apprenticeships have been the one thing that has had the biggest staying power of really any product in this country. Apprenticeships have been around since the 14th century, albeit they've not been funded in all that time. But now they are, which is great news. Yeah. I mean, Lorne, 16 to 18s, there are grants available for 16 to 18-year-olds at the moment.
Yeah, and irrespective of government, apprenticeships are, you know, high on the agenda in terms of, you know, our workforce and training. So obviously employers see taking on a young person in their first role in itself is costly.
Yeah.
But that incentive certainly helps with the training for that young person. And just back to the you know, the budget and the government, I think it is encouraging that, you know, within our time within the within the sector, apprenticeships have always been a priority, whichever government we've been in, and that's no different now. And, you know, certainly the music is about apprenticeships, more apprenticeships, particularly the level two and level three apprenticeships and social mobility, which is encouraging. So the more we can support the employers to take on apprentices, or even look at the team they've got and upskill within those teams, how we can support them through, you know, direct cost savings, like the national insurance. So a lot of employers are not actually aware that if they have an apprentice under 25, that there is relief on the national insurance for those individuals. And I think it's probably our sort of place now to get those messages out there, so people know what's available.
Yeah. So the key really is, isn't it, getting those messages across?
You can often get wrapped up in the bureaucracy of government communications and releases. Yeah. We've got to break down the barriers of that complexity. And we feel that that's our duty and our colleagues in the sector. There are over 1,500 training providers and colleges supporting the delivery of apprenticeships. And in early years, it's our duty, you know. So we must raise awareness and break down those barriers and those complexities, and try to communicate that in layman's terms sometimes as well.
Yeah. So how can we make this, you know, burden a bit lighter for them? What is available? How can they start now?
Well, you know, the recruitment crisis for all early years employers is top of their agenda.
Yeah.
Now they've got to try and combat the employer's national insurance contribution increases. Those two things, I think, can go hand in glove. The recruitment every year of a consistent wave of school leavers. Obviously, we're in the month of November at the moment. Sometimes if an individual decides they want to choose the academic route, college, university, it might not be for them. Often young people come back into the market and move into vocational. Those individuals are available to training providers and colleges. They tend to make contact with them, and then we match them to vacancies. So it's a route to trying to resolve part of that recruitment crisis. The retention element of an apprenticeship is the second biggest reason why people tend to leave employers. Is number one, the obvious one that's emotive, is pay.
Yeah.
The second reason is a lack of training and development. So people that feel properly trained invariably don't leave their jobs. Mm-hmm. But we're just focused on the recruitment crisis. If we can focus more efforts towards the retention of individuals and utilise the vehicle of the apprenticeship, working closely with your training provider or your college to really get involved in that training, then the retention of those individuals... Staff turnover and attrition in the early years sector is running at 24% at the moment.
Yeah, it's high.
There are around 14 average employees that work in a nursery. So if we just do some simple maths on that, around a quarter of that team will be leaving. So let's call it three. Recent studies have also confirmed that in early years, the recruitment, retention, training of a fully optimised individual to replace that person that's left is around £15,000. So straight off the bat, Cathy, that's around £45,000.
Yeah.
That's around it at 50K circa from the bottom line that small or medium-sized nursery could save.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, isn't it?
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
A lot of money. And it is back to that education piece.
Yeah.
It is, you know, making you know, small businesses aware of the cost of retention, the cost of people leaving the sector. But in terms of your question there, I think what John's sort of said there is certainly recruitment.
Yeah.
So apprenticeships can certainly help the recruitment challenge. You know, with training providers advertising on the apprenticeship service, and doing a lot of that initial heavy lifting for the employer in terms of, you know, finding the individuals, doing the pre-interviews, getting people to them, I think is certainly somewhere where there are cost benefits.
Yeah,
it's a good point, Lorna, because that often is the burden for a nursery manager. They don't have to take on that burden on their own.
No.
You know, training providers and the apprenticeship route, and colleges, of course, as well, within further education, have teams on hand to identify and to screen and to pre-interview and prepare candidates for interview. Because think of the cost of that time to the nursery manager or the deputy. It's huge. And that's available, free of charge in most cases.
If you know you've got your candidate that has come through that process, you can almost guarantee it's a candidate that wants to work in the sector because they've already gone through quite a vigorous, you know, recruitment process anyway, and eager to learn, eager to work with children, eager to be in the sector, which ticks a lot of boxes then for an engaging member of staff that'll fit into your team and work well on an apprentice that is willing to learn and take on the knowledge that they need to look after children.
You know, precisely the big ticket item that we were speaking about earlier, Cathy, is... those national insurance contributions, the employer contributions that have increased. And for a typical nursery employing around that figure we mentioned, 14 staff, dependent on salaries and averages, because there are different people in different roles, if we just looked at an average of the minimum wage, that's going to cost that typical employer around £11,000 to £15,000 a year. Extra.
And where does that come from?
Where does it come from?
Already struggling an already struggling business.
Precisely, yeah. And that's the point I think I was trying to make is, let's not panic.
Yeah.
There are thousands of employers out there, not just early years.
Mm-hmm.
It's the time not to panic, and then let's break that down and reassess. How can we make savings to cover that inevitable cost? And I believe that apprenticeships are a really positive vehicle. The initiatives and the incentives that are out there to try and offset that, and things will settle down.
Yeah, the 16 to 18 incentive we've mentioned. Employers being aware that there is relief for national insurance for anyone under 25 that are sort of taking an apprenticeship. Those two things could be quite significant.
Absolutely. And it's, picking the right training provider for that setting, isn't it? Your establishment as well, isn't it? Because if you've got somebody who you can work well with, i.e. you've got the nursery or, the establishment, you've got the apprentice and the training provider. If you know it's of good quality training, then that almost, with all these extra added, headaches that they've got at the moment, if you are confident it's qualitative, thorough training, then you're ticking that quality mark as well, aren't you? That, with all these, stresses, all these cuts that we're talking about that they're going to have to make, fundamentally, parents and grandparents want their children looking after in a safe, secure, stimulating environment with quality members of staff.
And I think that's certainly, Cathy, about partnership and a training provider actually being part of the part of the setting.
Absolutely.
Actually, as not seen as something separate.
Yeah.
That the training is good, is quality, meets the robust standards that it needs to meet, but also understands the...
It can impact the environment as well, can't it? And the rest of the staff team.
Yeah.
How many times have we heard people say, oh, I did that course the other day. Have you done it? It's really good. And they cascade that information across and it ripples through because... Like me, we've been in this sector a very long time. We see trends. We see, things rotate.
Changing governments.
Ideal, scenarios, ideal practice, best way to work with children. We've got children at the moment that are very tech savvy. That's, having an impact on quality of teaching and learning. So, therefore, the quality of the learning of the member of staff has got to change, as in, just for example, communication with children about reading and writing and literature and all that. We've now got to think of, there's an IT, there's another media involved in that as well. So it's about moving forward with learning, isn't it? And that then, through the apprenticeship, you're getting that message to lots of other valuable members of staff as
100%,
well.
100%, Cathy, and it's confusing for an employer.
Yeah.
There are so many different choices out there, and that's one of the reasons why within the Labour Party manifesto, they have looked to implement new policies under Skills England, some of which we don't really know that much at this stage, so apologies for that, but we just don't know. We are quite close to the Department for Education, and we tend to get an insight into when those policies are up for review. But it being a minefield for employers, they don't always know. They've got the day job to run the nursery. What do I choose? You're getting lots of literature and information about choose this course and choose this particular programme. Lorna's right. I think she hit the nail on the head. It's not about a commercial arrangement or a transaction, choosing a training provider or a college.
Mm.
It's about a long-term partnership for the training of your staff and optimising your access to the funding that's available by government to help you to pay for it. Yeah. That's your right.
Yeah.
That's all part of the apprenticeship levy, where the large employers pay into that levy to support the small employers. It's your right as an employer. Finding the right training provider, it's about those partnerships that can help you get access
to
that.
It's a personal thing as well, isn't it? It's about, who've you got confidence in? Who can you trust? Who do you like the model? Do you like how they work? You know, what suits one will not suit everybody.
Will not suit everyone.
You know, and it's about, you know, it's, you know, as a nursery owner, you know, you've got a lot of responsibility, haven't you? You being entrusted with, you know, everybody's most precious possession of their life, you know, and it's in, you know, in a way, you've got to pick a training provider that supports your ethos of
it's
the nursery.
It's one of the most important decisions you'll make. I love a good metaphor, but if you've got a pristine classic car, would you put budget tyres on that car?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and your children and grandchildren. Should you compromise the training program that's training those individuals looking after your most prized asset? It's a hugely important decision.
And it's like parents and grandparents picking a setting for their child, isn't it?
You know,
there's a lot of thought, a lot of effort, a lot of stress, you know. Do I pick a childminder? Do I pick a day nursery? What's convenient to me? What do I want for a child, you know, childcare of my little one?
Yeah.
Where did I get the right feeling? And the same goes with your training provider.
You've got to have
that confidence that's going to do a really good job.
It's that safe pair of hands, isn't it? It's that provider that not only, you know, ticks the box, because this is so much more. An apprenticeship is not about a qualification that ticks a box to be able to do a job. You know, in childcare, it's essentially a licence to work with children. Like you said, our most valuable thing in our lives. So a provider that actually does more than deliver a standalone sort of qualification that looks at all the softer things around the apprenticeship and builds in that stretch and challenge, which is then, you know, rigorously assessed throughout, but then at the end by an independent body. And I think that offers so much to the setting, but the parents and the grandparents, if they're aware of that, what would you rather do? Would you rather someone be independently assessed at the end of a programme to make sure that you have reached all of those milestones? I think that in itself is valuable, and that's why you know, as training providers, you know, what is it that you're delivering? Look for a provider that delivers what you want, speak to more than one, work with more than one.
Carry out your due diligence there as well. Yeah. There's a lot of information out there on the apprenticeship service and, you know, generally in the public domain. You know, do your research on each training provider and college to make sure, as Lorna says, you don't rush into that decision. Mm. It's important to get that right. Because you don't want to keep swapping and changing.
No.
It's about a long-term relationship to support you as a nursery with your own staff development, staff training and development strategies.
John spoke earlier about attrition rate within the early years sector. You know, so if you're looking at an attrition rate of 24%, you know, have a look at your training providers, look at what they achieve. You know, it's you know, publicly available data that you can go and you can see what are the achievement rates. Are they somewhere near that attrition rate? Because that actually gives me some confidence that, you know, if I'm an apprentice, they're going to achieve.
And it's come to...
And not going to leave.
Yeah, and they're going to come to fruition at the end of it. You know,
and that whole retention
qualitative
piece comes in.
You know, quality member of staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, on those stats, on last year, minimum standards, the benchmark was around just above 50%, which is not particularly great within the sector of apprenticeships. It needs to improve. Yeah. No doubt the Labour government will be working tirelessly with DfE to improve achievement rates. So, you know, the attrition rates Lorna spoke about there at, you know, 20-25%, the flip of that is the 70-75%.
Yeah.
That's a benchmark you should be looking at in terms of excellence.
Yeah, absolutely.
And don't look at 50% and think that's okay. So, you know, you want the vast majority of your
50%
employees to achieve.
At 50%, anybody would think, well, it's a 50-50 gamble, isn't it? You know, on a...
Well, it wouldn't be a great sales pitch for an airline, would it? Great news, 50% of our aircraft land successfully.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And how does that then, you know, show value for money because, you know, the levy is taxpayer funds.
Yeah.
You know, so it is important that you know the provider you're with is delivering value for money.
Absolutely.
And spot on, Lorna, yeah.
Yeah.
We talked earlier about Skills England as well, and there's a lot of talk. I spoke about the complexity of different programmes, the given of apprenticeships. Other programmes, some being mothballed, traineeships, others still remain boot camps. There's lots of devolved funding into devolved areas under the adult education budget.
Yeah.
Of course, there's Student England as well with advanced learner loans. There's so much to choose from.
Mm-hmm. It's overwhelming, really, isn't it?
Yes, there's a lot. Yeah, and, you know, I think the one thing that we'll probably see under Skills England and DfE is a review, an evaluation of the success of these programmes, and then hopefully a direction of travel that's got clarity for everyone, really, because you don't know what to choose. Which programme should I pick?
Yeah.
Which one's the right one for me? Yeah. Well, that one is fully funded. That one doesn't require an employer contribution. Mm. So you naturally think, oh, it's a bargain, I'll go for that. But at what cost?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's important. Working with your training provider is not just about putting learners on programmes. It's finding what's right for you in terms of your own organisational needs analysis, really.
Yeah. There's a lot of information out there, but then there's a lot of information that's not clear. But you know, I certainly get the impression that, you know, this government understands that and is looking through Skills England to make a clearer picture.
And they're also they appear to be very committed to early years as well, don't they? Particularly,
very much so.
You know, they've already making moves to providing additional nursery establishments within unused schools classrooms.
Which I think is a great idea.
Yeah, extending, absolutely. You know, extending the, you know, the school environment and the offer from local schools. You know that may be common practice soon, that, you know, your child can start school at, you know, before they're walking, you know, and go through. You know, we'd yet to see what that actually is going to look like, but.
Yeah.
But again, that's another very good opportunity. Yeah, but in terms of the
economy. Mm. You know, and a lot of, you know, parents want to go back to work, but they need the affordability and the flexibility.
Absolutely.
In where that care for the children is, without a doubt, the quality. But there's, you know, there's certainly a massive economic benefit from parents being able to get back into work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so there's a lot to think of when it comes to Skills England. A lot will evolve and materialise in terms of information. We've got Christmas on the horizon, and the government are not rushing into anything. A lot of consultations at the moment, and I'm sure in the new year, information will start to phase in. Of course, there's, you know, we know there's funding available, Lorna, as well. We've been told that
additional $300 million becoming available. We don't really know what that's for yet, but I'm sure that will be supporting certainly those level 2 and level 3.
For sure.
Qualifications, yeah. Well, a lot of content there today, lots for discussion.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming in. I'm sure we'll have you back on the sofa soon to discuss again when we get an insight onto a lot of these unanswered questions. So, but thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Cathy.
All right.